brief. War in Gaza. Hamas leaders say the only thing wrong with Israel's latest ceasefire proposal is everything. Here's the BBC's Hugo Bacheco.
They have three main demands here. They are demanding a permanent ceasefire, in other words, the end of the war. They want all Israeli troops out of Gaza, and they also want displaced residents to be able to return to northern parts of Gaza.
Vice President Kamala Harris meeting today with American relatives of hostages held in Gaza since the October 7th massacres. Police in Las Vegas say yesterday's shooting in a local law office was murder-suicide.
We believe the suspect is deceased. We do have two deceased victims on scene, and there is no further threat to the community.
CBS News has learned the victims were married. The shooter, a fellow lawyer, was her former father-in-law. And Tesla settled a lawsuit brought by the family of a Silicon Valley engineer who died in a crash using the company's semi-autonomous driving software. CBS News Brief, I'm Vicki Barker.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. President Biden says his new student loan forgiveness plan will boost the economy by canceling up to $20,000 of interest for millions of Americans who can prove hardship cases.
By freeing millions of Americans from this crushing debt of student debt, it means they can finally get on with their lives instead of being put their lives being put on hold.
Biden unveiled the plan in Madison yesterday. Republicans say it does nothing to lower the rising cost of college. Spring planting is in full swing, and state troopers are reminding drivers to be safe and share the road. The state patrol says you should scan the road ahead and be ready to slow down when you see slow-moving farm vehicles. State troopers count more than 2,000 crashes involving farm vehicles in Wisconsin in the last 5 years. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. A car theft suspect was shot and killed by police in Waukesha early this morning. At around 2:30, a call went out to officers about an attempted vehicle theft at CarMax. The suspect ran off and shots were believed to be fired a short time later. Police at this point have said that they did try to use non-fatal force and that the victim is 50 years old. Traffic on Blue Mound is impacted. Harley-Davidson's biggest union in Milwaukee has agreed to a new contract. The Milwaukee Business Journal reports the five-year contract includes a 19% wage increase over the duration, as well as extra insurance, retirement, and vacation benefits. The contracts for Harley-Davidson employees at the Menominee Falls powertrain operations were set to expire Sunday. The contract also includes employees at the Tomahawk plant. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles, WAUK News.
The Todd Alba Show.
Former state senator and majority leader in the state Senate, Dale Schultz.
Legislators aren't doing their job. But what I would ask all the listeners is, have you taken stock in your legislator? Do they really deserve to be there? Do they really want to be there in a polite way? Ask them to come and share a vision, listen to you, and say we want regular communication. And I think if we do that, the system will serve us very well.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
It's the Bucks and the Celtics. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. This one's been circled on the schedule for months. The Bucks hosting the number one seed in the conference, the Celtics, tonight at Fiserv Forum. The Bucks trying to snap that four-game losing streak at home and overcome injuries, like Chris Middleton having a tooth knocked out Sunday night against the Knicks. Doc Rivers.
And Chris, you know, was great to begin in the game. He was absolutely fantastic. You just feel bad for him. The guy can't catch a break, you know. What's the odds of you getting you're going to a game. Okay, tonight it'll be my tooth getting knocked out. You know, it's just, he's having one of those seasons. Just tough luck.
Baseball, the Brewers taking on the Reds again in Cincinnati after losing the opener last night 10-8. Milwaukee committing four errors.
You know, there's a million things we could have done better. But it's part of it. It's part of it. You don't always play great defense. This was a draining game, but we battled back, and there's a lot to be proud of.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Partly cloudy today. We'll get to 62 for a high this afternoon. The wind from the west at 5 to 15. Tonight it'll be clear with a low of 41 tomorrow. Sun in the morning, a few more clouds in the afternoon with a high of 61. It'll be cooler with showers and a bit breezy on Thursday with a high of 53. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now it's 48.
Introducing Brookfield's newest cigar and vape shop, Planet X. They have endless options with their wide variety of products. Experience luxury in their expansive cigar room, stocked with only the freshest cigars. And the best part? Planet X offers the cheapest prices in Brookfield. Open to serve you Monday through Saturday, 8 a.m. until midnight, and Sundays from 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. Come in today for cigars, vapes, and much more at Planet X.
Coming up Tuesday on Nat Nair On Air, three headlines and a lie. This time, it's Greg Bach's turn. Don't miss it.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Hey, what's up now?
Brother, what's up?
This is a big party, man.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good, Earl. Did you check out the eclipse yesterday?
No, man. You know, who was it that said a total eclipse of the heart?
I don't know, but I had my special glasses. I watched it.
You did?
Oh, yeah.
Did you see it, Calvin?
Yeah, I checked it out.
Yeah, so from everything that I heard, and by the way, if you don't know by now, that's my co-host, Sandy Williams. Sandy, so you, they said it was almost a total eclipse, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it was just a little, it looked like the sliver of a moon when it's at its greatest closeness to totality. There was just a little bit of a sliver. But what was interesting was that the day it got darker, but there still was plenty of sunlight, even from that little sliver that was exposed.
Well, you know, I heard people say that they even noticed it got cooler. Yeah, that the power of the sun, as powerful as it is, that the eclipse kind of took some of that warmth away.
Well, you know, radiant energy travels in straight lines. So, when it's blocked, just like when a cloud gets between you and the sun, it gets cooler. This was like a cloud that was obliterating the sun.
Well, you know, speaking of things and clouds obliterating the sun, there's always Donald Trump. So, you know, we're going to talk a little bit about Donald Trump, Sandy. And for those of you who may not know, we've got a special guest lined up in the 9 o'clock hour. Hope Inspired Ministries will be in the studio. And so we'll be talking to them at 9 o'clock. But Sandy, let me ask you, Baltimore and the bridge collapsing, and now there's politics about whether or not our government needs to come up with the resources, you know, to help rebuild the bridge. And there's, Sandy, can you explain, you know, I mean, I know the government can't do everything and cities and states have a responsibility, but something the magnitude of that, a state can't rebuild that, can it?
Well, you know, the bridge and the port are, they might be located in Maryland, but they're definitely part of interstate commerce. But we have 25 or 30 seaports, 25 seaports that are of any scale. Baltimore is one of the biggest. Bridge is an interstate highway, and people who are traversing north and south along the coast on the interstate would go over that bridge. So, you know, it's definitely a part. It's got a national interest. And our interstate system has been built substantially by federal funding. So, you know, when an interstate highway bridge goes down, you would expect that the federal government would play a major role in the repair of it. It's not a resource that was dedicated to the state of Maryland.
So Republicans, Sandy, have said, the House Freedom Caucus, you've heard of those people, right? Those brilliant, that brilliant group of people announced last week that it would require a full offset of any funding and other budget conscious demands in exchange for its backings. So they want to play politics with this, Sandy. Okay,
I guess they aren't saying that the federal government shouldn't do it. What they're saying is that the federal government need to find a place in the budget to offset the expenditures. It's interesting, they don't do that for most FEMA expenditures, and yet this is closer to a FEMA event, you know, an emergency event, than it is to anything else. What's the difference between a shipwreck and a tornado, right? And a tornado would be the kind of thing that FEMA would step in and play a big role in repairing. And if this happened in Georgia, I'm pretty sure that Marjorie Taylor Green would not be requiring that there be an offset.
If it happened in Texas or Florida, no problem, right?
Right.
But Sandy, we do come to a point or get to a point where this kind of foolishness ever going to come to an end? You're not going to offset. What programs are you going to find to offset, you know, what, $4 or $5 billion or more, or whatever it's going to cost, that they'll be satisfied with?
You know, there needs to be discipline in the budget, but this is not the path to discipline. There are much bigger fish to fry in the process of figuring out what our priorities are. And you would assume that the federal government is there as the insurer against this kind of event, because you can't purchase insurance for it. And so the federal government is the insurer in this kind of a situation.
So, Sandy, let's...
Because we have a national interest in reopening the port and rebuilding the bridge. Those are both matters of national interest.
You just stole my thunder, because I was going to say, look, the bridge and what takes place there is not solely for Baltimore residents, right? I mean, the impact of that is all of us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the fact is that while things get developed in our country in locales, And each locale is located in a state, many of the things that get developed are matters of national interest, interstate commerce being the major national interest, and always has been. One of the reasons we have the Constitution written as we do is that the founders knew that there was this interest in interstate commerce that needed to be protected at the federal level.
You know, Sandy, $3 or $4 billion in a $1.5 or $1.3 trillion budget? Come on, that's chicken feed, Sandy. I mean, to be grappling over, you know, if it's $5 billion, Sandy, you know, maybe one less, you know, grand party in the military, right? Maybe we don't buy as many lobsters or caviar.
Well, I think that money's money, and I think the government needs to have discipline. But one thing we need to adequately fund is essentially what I would call the National Insurance Reserve. You know, every year there will be disasters. Unfortunately, weather disasters have become more numerous, probably because of climate change. But one thing the government needs to do is have an adequate reserve to take care of the kind of disasters like this bridge, and we need to accommodate it. You know, there won't be one every year, but there probably will be one like this every 10 years, and our budget ought to have built into it enough reserve to take care of that kind of a problem. That's what you call prudence. It's not prudent to to start saying, well, we aren't going to do it unless we can find an offset. No, what we ought to be doing is adequately building into our budget the kind of reserve that's necessary to take care of this kind of thing.
Well, you know, Sandy, again, we can't do any of those things because there's still people talking about tax cuts. And you constantly talk about the revenue side of things. At the root of this being an issue is the lack of revenue. But when you have that lack of revenue, then people can stand up and holler and say, hey, we can't afford that. You have to be able to afford this. Am I right?
Well, yeah. And I suspect that Joe Biden's from Baltimore, from Maryland.
Oh, yes.
And I suspect that his home state has something to do with the Freedom Party's decision to try and dig in their heels about making this a sticking point, because all that it amounts to is a point of leverage. Okay.
Right.
Leverage. It needs to happen. And some people who are looking for leverage are saying, okay, well, if this needs to happen, then we're going to dig in our heels and negotiate over it.
Well, you know, Sandy, it doesn't matter whether it was in Baltimore, whether it was in Wisconsin, wherever it is, you know, we've got a nation. Let's do this. Let's go to Dave from Milwaukee. Dave, thank you very much for the call. You say what, sir?
Good morning. I'm tuning in a little late, so if this was already covered, please excuse me. So you're talking about the cost of
rebuilding the bridge, right?
Why isn't anyone talking about making the owner of the ship pay? If I crash my car into somebody's house, I'm going to pay for that or through my insurance. So it's great that the government is going to, you know, rebuild it, but can we then sue the owner of the ship?
Sure.
And recover that
absolutely. Absolutely, Dave. And I'm confident that there will be a lawsuit. I'm also confident that the level of liability coverage and the amount of money in the coffers of a corporation owning a ship won't come up to the level of $4 billion. But I'm confident that there will be a lawsuit. The lawsuit will undoubtedly prevail under the laws of admiralty, and there will be a substantial contribution to the cost of this. The problem with all of that is that it takes time. You can't wait to repair the bridge until after you've succeeded in obtaining the funds. And if you announce that you are going to wait to repair the bridge until you got the money, that would be handing leverage to the ship owner and the insurer, because they would say, well, if you want this money fast, we'll give you pennies on the dollar.
Right. Well, that makes perfect sense. And I go along with that.
Hey, Dave, thank you very much for the call. Thank you for listening. You know, what is it, Tuesday? Oh, it's Tuesday.
So
that's Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams. We got a lot of things to talk about. On the other side, 844-967-2789. You know, Sandy, Governor Evers vetoed a bill that would have allowed 14 and 15-year-olds, to work without a permit. I want to hear your thoughts on that on the other side. 844-967-2789. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams on the Earl Ingram Show.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
Most of us can agree the decision to have an abortion should be between a person and their doctor. Politicians should have no say at all. Thankfully, Senator Tammy Baldwin is standing up for our rights and working to keep politicians out of our medical decisions. After Roe v. Wade, the court case that protected abortion rights was overturned, Tammy Baldwin introduced the Women's Health Protection Act, which would ensure access to abortion everywhere in the United States, including here in Wisconsin. The bill would end extreme abortion bans that have no exceptions for rape, incest, or the life of the mother, and threaten doctors with criminal charges for providing abortion care. Senator Baldwin also introduced legislation that would protect the right to travel across state lines for reproductive health care and safeguard access to contraception. Call Senator Tammy Baldwin at 202-224-5653. Tell her thank you for fighting back against extreme abortion bans. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Welcome back to a Tuesday edition of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Tuesdays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. So, Sandy, Governor Evers vetoed a bill yesterday that would have allowed 14 and 15-year-olds to work without permits. And so this bill was brought up by Senator Corey Tomczak, of Mosinee, Representative Republican, Clint Moses, Representative Menominee, and Representative Amy Bensfield of Sheboygan, who introduced the bill last year, and they said that it would remove needless administrative barriers that slow down the hiring process. Currently, work permits are required for 14 and 15-year-olds unless they work in agriculture or domestic service sectors. Parents or guardians must apply for their child's work permits, and a $10 fee is reimbursed by employers. So the argument, you're shaking your heads.
It's incredible to me. You know, I think Evers probably vetoed this because in his youth, he probably read Oliver Twist by Charles Dickens. And that's the twist associated with this veto because, you know, that law was set up to avoid the perils of child labor. Child labor was a serious problem in the world at the beginning of the Industrial Revolution. And for the next 75 years, children were exploited terribly in mills, in textile mills in New England and all over the country. And so what was set up was the most minor sort of impediment. All you have to do, when I was a kid, if you wanted to work when you were under 16, you had to get a work permit.
Yes.
It wasn't difficult. No, it wasn't a difficult thing at all. And it was just enough of an impediment so that the state would be aware of the fact that young people were being employed so that there could be a watchful eye kept over the nature of the employment. I have trouble figuring out what kind of an employer thinks that the work permit was an impediment necessary to avoid in order to have work. I mean, I don't know whether it's because those people want to employ people who are in the country illegally and they don't want to have those people run through a governmental process where their status would be discovered. I mean, you know, the people who cry out most about immigration tend to get behind stuff like this, which probably in effect would play a role in attracting people to come to this country illegally who can therefore find employment and not be found.
You know, Sandy, the argument that they're making is, hey, we don't have enough people to work these jobs. Okay, so how can the answer be, okay, we'll sacrifice our children, right? I mean, you got people at the border who want to come in and work, Sandy. You've got job opportunities. What would come to your mind? You have sons. I have sons. Did I want my sons working in a mill in these dangerous positions at 12, 14, 15 years old? Absolutely not. So what's the argument?
I mean, These same people would want a young woman to get an approval to have the certain kinds of medical treatments, for instance, abortion, but they don't want to have the parents involved in the process of whether the child is employed at under age 16 in a manner that would maybe detract from their ability to go to school effectively or to socialize at school effectively or to be endangered in their place of work or to experience things in a work environment that are way outside the pattern of what young people should be experiencing. I mean, this is the reason for work permits, and work permits are not hard to obtain.
Well, to say, Sandy, that it makes it difficult for the business owners is a ridiculous statement. And I'm wondering if these representatives in Madison, Sandy, if they have children of age, that they think it would be okay that they can just Earl has a company and I can hire their child without them knowing it. What kind of sense does that make?
It makes no sense at all. And you know, these are the same people who talk about worrying about all kinds of other sorts of intrusions and wanting to make sure that parents are in charge of their children, for instance, in the school environment. I mean, do people understand what kind of an environment? A workplace environment is not necessarily safe for school. You know, they have this not safe for work acronym. Well, everything that's safe at work is not necessarily safe for school age kids.
You know, Sandy, I spent 34 years in industry, and the plant that I worked in absolutely is not a place. It wasn't a place for an 18-year-old, let alone to say, we'll bring in some 14 and 12 and 15-year-olds. Industry and those types of places were not ever created, Sandy, to protect children, for heaven's sakes.
Well, I don't mean just physical safety. I mean that the social conditions, social environment into which they're introduced is an adult environment. And these children, this is all aimed at children who are under 16.
I know. Okay?
These are children, okay? And you want to throw them into a work environment. I guess they can have their first cigarettes during the
Well, you know, Sandy, again, you know, if you have a business and you can't find employees, you know, Sandy, you always say it's a marketplace economy. Maybe you need to raise the amount of money you're paying people. I mean, you got to do some other things first, right? Other than absolutely. Say, we'll just throw some children at it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's the problem. And employers are industrious and will do the things necessary to get the extra workers. And what they don't need is a shortcut that's aimed at interrupting the growth experience of children under age 16.
844-967-2789 is the number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesday is with my co-host Sandy Williams and you. Up next, news, weather, and sports.
Monday on Nightlight, I welcome Jason Mansmith, Matt Miller, and Don Rosen. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabba from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Body parts are turning up around Milwaukee County. A human leg was found in a park in Cudahy last week. Another body part was found in Milwaukee a few days later. The family of a missing teenager says it wants answers. Authorities can't confirm a connection, but they have brought in someone for questioning. Republicans like Congressman Brian Stiles say the student loan forgiveness program President Biden pitched in Madison yesterday is a desperation move.
There's a reason he's doing it in the most progressive city in the state and targeting students. He's trying to buy votes.
Biden says it would free up millions of Americans burdened by debt and benefit the economy. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Avery's Auto Salvage might be a familiar name to you. It's where remains of Teresa Halbach were found in Manitowoc County back in 2005. Yesterday, search efforts for missing Elijah Vu led volunteers to search that salvage yard. There's no known connection between the yard and the missing boy, but searchers say it's a large area that they should canvass. Vu went missing February 20th. His mother and her boyfriend are being held on neglect charges. The Packers are in Kenosha today. The Green Bay Packers tailgate tour kicks off today with current players, alumni, and fans coming together for a week-long celebration. There will be some unannounced stops. The announced stop includes a fundraiser for the Shalom Center charity in Kenosha County. The tour features current players Elgin Jenkins and Kenny Clark, as well as alumni like Brian Belaga. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles, WAUK News.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
I'm Pete with a 60-second showbiz beat. Thanks to whiskey, jazz, dive bars, swanky cars, and black and white, Colin Farrell is channeling his inner Humphrey Bogart in the new series, Sugar. Collider reports that the detective show has elements of film noir throughout. The cast is rounded out by Perry Mason's Matthew Rhys and Clive Owen. Sugar is now available to stream on Apple. New episodes drop on Friday nights. Happier Gilmore? Adam Sandler fans will be glad to know there is a sequel in the works. Drew Barrymore spilled the beans, or the tea, or your food of choice on her talk show, saying that Sandler was working on a script for Happy Gilmore 2. According to the New York Post, Barrymore told her studio audience that there is a process and that the process is in the process. Actor Chris McDonald also confirmed as much, saying that Sandler let him have a peek at the first draft of the script to Happy 2. Given Bob Barker's passing, it remains to be seen which elderly game show host Sandler will throw hands with in the sequel. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, every night between 7 and 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Partly cloudy today. We'll get to 62 for a high this afternoon. The wind from the west at 5 to 15. Tonight it'll be clear with a low of 41. Tomorrow, sun in the morning, a few more clouds in the afternoon with a high of 61. It'll be cooler with showers and a bit breezy on Thursday with a high of 53. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now it's 48.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on The Shaw. 101.1 FM and 540 AM WAUK. And on the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Heaven help the child who never had a home. Heaven help the girl who walks the streets alone.
up the roses if the bombs begin to fall. Everyone ever saw. Heaven help the black man if he struggles one more day. Heaven help the white man if he turns back away. Heaven help the man who kicks the man who has to crawl. Heaven help us all.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesday is with my co-host, Sandy Williams. And, Sandy, we're going to go to the phone lines before we get on with the next subject. Let's go back to phone lines and Mike from Kenosha. Hey, good morning to you, Mike. Your thoughts?
Good morning, sir. Thanks for taking my call, as always. You know, I love this AE, artificial intelligence conversation, because I think we have a unique opportunity. I think and some people are beginning to talk about using artificial intelligence, the assets or the return on investment, to use in a public beneficial way. One of the things described and brought up was to drop the work week from a 40-hour week to a 32-hour week. And using the proceeds of artificial intelligence, you know, to pay for, if you will. So it's kind of an interesting thing. In this day of, you know, hyper-capitalism, or some people would even call it vulture capitalism, I think to start reinvesting, especially in these technologies like artificial intelligence, which wouldn't even be in play if the public didn't have a huge investment to make it relative and relevant, I should say. So, back in the 60s, and I'll end the call with this, or at least the thought with this. In the mid-60s, Time Magazine, I think it was 66 or 67, came out with a Leisure Society cover page. And it talked about with the new digital age that was where, you know, on the doorstep of, that there'd be a unique opportunity for efficiencies and productivity gains. And unfortunately, the organized part of the public were the ones that benefited, because what we've seen as a result, instead of it being the gains being equitably shared between the public and business, we saw that the gains were all basically confiscated by the elites in the corporates. So with artificial intelligence, I think we have a great opportunity to use that as a public benefit.
So Mike, thank you very much for the call. Sandy, you want to respond to any of that?
Well, I think economists have long thought that as productivity goes up with the kinds of enhancements that would come from technological advances like artificial intelligence, that it well might be societally beneficial as well as beneficial to the individuals in the workplace to have shortened work weeks, which could increase the number of employees that would otherwise be needed and would be sharing in the wealth. I mean, for a long time, sci-fi and people who are looking at the future have wondered what will happen in the future if robots begin to accomplish all kinds of work that was otherwise accomplished by humans. So far, all sorts of robotic, I mean, like, for instance, in China, we all think of China as a place where there's cheap labor, and that's why work is being done in China. But if you go to a factory in China, they're the most technologically advanced factories you can imagine. And they are replacing workers with robotic technology to the extent possible. It turns out that there still is a necessity for lots of human beings to work with and to be working next to all this robotic kind of stuff. But Mike is right that in the long term, if productivity does go way up, it's altogether likely that shortened work weeks would make a lot of sense. And there already is sociological pressure. I think that the pandemic introduced many people to the concept of a shortened work week. And many workplaces, in fact, do have 4-day work weeks in
10-hour days,
in which there's, yeah.
10-hour days as opposed to 8. You know, Sandy, let me ask you, were you waiting with bated breath to hear Donald Trump explain his beliefs on abortion? Did you get to hear him?
Well, I think Donald Trump and beliefs, I think that's oxymoronic, you know, to say that there are actual beliefs. But, you know, I think he obviously recognizes, and he's a shrewd guy, he recognizes the downside to the ticket of the hardline positions being taken on abortion and is looking for a middle road. I think the middle road he adopted is one in which you get hit by traffic going both directions.
So it began with Lindsey Graham, his buddy. So yeah. Former President Donald Trump lashed out at Senator Lindsey Graham on Monday after Graham expressed public disagreement with Trump. Trump's latest statement on his abortion position. Sandy, he began to berate Lindsey Graham. He said some horrible things.
That doesn't seem to matter. He said horrible things about Lindsey Graham in the past. And actually, Lindsey Graham has said horrible things about Donald Trump. But they seem to have a bromance that they can fall back on. And the bromance is all about power politics. But I think Trump's position fails, quite frankly, because while it might suggest that he's not as dogmatic on abortion as people who are in favor of choice would hope, what he's leaving open is the possibility that a whole bunch of states would adopt extremely restrictive rules on abortion, and we'd end up with a patchwork across the country that would cause people to have a great deal of problem, depending on what state they live in.
Well, so the kindred spirits, I guess, is what you say. Donald Trump, I blame myself for Lindsey Graham, because the only reason he won in the great state of South Carolina is because I endorsed him, Trump said in one of several posts shared on Truth Social, his social media site, in which he targeted one of his top allies in Congress. You know, to say that the only reason Lindsey Graham got elected in South Carolina is because of me, Donald Trump. You know, Sandy, he does say some things that are offshoot at times, no question. But then there are times when he makes statements like that, you know, he doesn't give it any thought, Sandy. It just flows from him. Because to make statements...
He's instinctually this... the Don, you know, Don Corleone and Don Trump Leone. You know, he's got this instinct for speaking in derogatory hyperbole, you know, exaggerated derogatory about anyone who has the temerity to cross him in the most minor way. You know, he plays whack-a-mole, and he does this for purpose. He does this to demonstrate that if you dare utter or even breathe or think a negative thought about me, I will make sure that you will pay a price.
But Sandy, he's not talking about some bump on a log. He's talking about Lindsey Graham. I mean, Lindsey Graham carries some weight himself, Sandy. He's not a lightweight.
Well, he's not a lightweight, but he seems to have demonstrated that he's a will-o'-the-wisp and that he will... He'll kiss anatomical parts that are unpleasant. You know, I think Lindsey Graham is expendable as far as he's concerned. I do think that in South Carolina, he's probably done polling that suggests that he, Donald Trump, polls better than Lindsey Graham. So maybe he does.
You know, Sandy, you're right. The reason Trump, and he didn't do this on his own. This is one time he listened to some folks who told him about the direction he should go with this abortion issue. He didn't come up with that, Sandy. If you listen to it.
That tweet that he came out with didn't include any of the grammar or the procedure that he would utilize in a tweet. That tweet was not drafted by Donald Trump. That was drafted by more reasoned thinkers who are backing him. And my problem with it is that I think that it's a middle of the road. Like I said, he's going to get hit by traffic going both ways.
You know, Sandy, the abortion issue has been, continues to be, Trump still runs around and brags and says, I'm the guy who ended Roe versus Wade. He doesn't understand that there are a lot of people who disagree with that. A lot of voters, some who voted for him in the past, who based on the fact that he kind of pushed for that to come through, who disagree with, you know, the government having that kind of control and power over women's lives. And so he didn't know that I shouldn't be bragging about this. And some people called him in. But the surprising thing to me, Sandy, is he listened. When is the last time he listened to somebody? But I guess he understood, those people clearly said everything is at stake with the abortion issue, Sandy. We can talk about all the other things you want to talk about, but if he doesn't get that right, you know, we've already seen the outcome of what happens when people have gone against.
Well, we can just assume that he listened to others, but I think Donald Trump is shrewd. Okay, I think he is shrewd with respect to, and I think he's without any personal commitment to any particular issue. So he was never committed to the anti-abortion position. In fact, earlier in his career, in his life, he was a pro-choice person and outspokenly so. So I think this is just Donald Trump looking at polls, looking at the results of elections, realizing, and he wants to have it both ways. He wants to pat himself on the chest and congratulate himself when he's speaking to the evangelical right. And he wants to announce otherwise to everyone else who might care and to the women out there that he actually is moderate because he's got this every state can choose kind of a concept. Well, every state can choose was actually the position of those who are anti-abortion. That was the ultimate outcome of the Dodd case. And every state can choose is not a middle of the road concept.
844-967-2789 is the number. You know, Sandy, you get to a point where the more you listen, and I did, I listened to what he had to say. And he certainly tried to not be as arrogant as he normally is with the things that he says. He tempered it down somewhat. And still, you know, I don't know if he can walk it back, Sandy, in the end, if it's going to be, you know, people are going to accept him for what he said now. I just don't think it's possible.
Well, I kind of think Donald Trump can walk anything back because he says both things so frequently and then just describes his view to being whatever it is that he thinks is beneficial on any particular day. So, like I said, I don't think he has any moorings with respect to ideological or policy positions. I don't think he does.
You know, Sandy, the Speaker of the House, Mr. Johnson, is on ice skates. We'll talk about that on the other side. 844-967-2789 is the number.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Do you owe back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now and get some help. For a limited time, the IRS offers a tax forgiveness program called the Fresh Start Initiative. Our team can make it easier for you to pay back taxes, avoid tax liens, and get a fresh start.
I call Tax Solutions now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Call Tax Solutions now. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193.
Are you ready to start a meaningful career in healthcare? Are you looking for a job that fits your work-life balance? Become a certified direct care professional today and make life better for older adults or people with a disability. WISC Caregiver Careers makes it easy with free online training plus earn a $500 bonus. See your name on Wisconsin's Certified Direct Care Registry. Sign up today at WISCCaregiverCDCP.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
You're listening to the Shaw WAUK, Waukesha's home for Up North News Radio.
At 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesday's with my co-host, Sandy Williams. Sandy, let's go to the phone lines. And Gene from Eclair. Hey, good morning to you, Gene. Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Good morning, guys. Thank you so much for taking my call. You know, Donald Trump has did nothing but lie for years and years and years. And especially, remember, he had this health care plan that was better than anybody else's. In health care, the Obamacare was almost gone, except for one man who is probably turning over in his grave every time Trump runs down John McCain. In addition to that, Trump has zero, nada, respect for women. Every person he goes after, primarily, is women. The blood coming down out of their eyes. The one woman that was so ugly. Oh, I won't have anything to do with her. Grabbing women, going into places where he ran beauty pageants on the young girls when they were dressing. You can grab any woman by the ha-ha-ha. Every woman, that any man that he's gone after, he goes after the daughters and the wives. Anybody that votes for this guy has to have a big problem with women, because that man is not going to protect women. Look what he does with his own wife, or wives, or passed away wives. It is just unbelievable that anybody would go for this monster. And selling Bibles? Give me a break. You evangelicals, wake up, because this is sick.
Hey, Gene, thank you very much for the call. You know, Sandy, I wanted to talk about Mike Johnson, the speaker, and where he is and why and where he winds up. He really, Sandy, took a position that he was warned about, and he thought that maybe, Sandy, he could, you know, straddle the fence. And it turns out that there is no fence straddling. Go ahead, Sam.
Well, it turns out that fence has got some pretty pointy objects on it, and you're going to hurt yourself. mugwumps, you know, the term mugwump was meant to be a shorthand. It was a name for middle of the road politicians back in the late 1800s. They were mugwumps, and that was fence straddling, which was a dangerous occupation. But yeah, the Freedom Caucus has no stomach for actually progress. It has no stomach for the government doing what it needs to do if it involves compromise, or if it involves allowing the government to operate under the presidency of someone of another party. And so, yeah, I mean, I think everyone knew, and I think Mike Johnson should have known, that when he reached across the aisle in order to accomplish the process that's necessary to keep the government going, yes, he was essentially committing harakiri. It was a seppuku kind of an outcome.
Well, but Sandy, it's over, right? I mean, if he agrees with anything, if he agrees with the funding for Ukraine, if he agrees with anything that has to be done, he's done. And the next question becomes, Sandy, who's the next sacrificial lamb?
Yeah,
I mean they're going to be running out of people, right, who are going to be willing to step up and do that job.
I mean, that's why people who aren't actually crazy are saying, you know, it might end up being Hakeem Jeffries. I mean, it might end up that in order to have a speaker, they'll have to have someone who comes from the Democratic side of the aisle to operate.
You know, Sandy, so you would, in your thoughts, you think that Mike Johnson, the speaker, is going to have to agree to funding for Ukraine? He's going to have to agree?
He's trying to be the middle of the road as well. He's trying to separate the Israeli aid package from the Ukrainian aid package so that his caucus can have an opportunity to vote separately on each one, because he understands that his caucus, many of them who are against aid to Ukraine, are for aid to Israel. And so, you know, he wants to divide that up and give them a shot. And I think that's what he's going to do, which will require the Senate then to operate on the same fashion, because it's got to go through both houses.
Well, you know, Sandy, the way things are set up, though, you know, if you got five or six of the Freedom Caucus members who don't agree, they can't make it happen anyway, right?
Well, not without Democratic votes.
Right.
So, you know, it could well be that the Democrats will cooperate in having divided bills just in order to get this to happen, because both bills will pass, but they'll pass with different votes. And the people who are trying to make political statements, which are simply exercises in cosmetics, will be able to do that by having separate votes.
You know, Sandy, after it's all said and done, to see Jeffries becoming the speaker, you know, what is it? There's a 4-vote difference right now in the Congress.
Yeah.
And so what, two Republicans can decide not to follow the path, and the bill can't
just one. Nothing passes if two defect. So only one can defect and still get something passed over unanimous Democratic opposition. So it's a very, very slim margin right now.
All right, Sandy, we got to leave it there. I'll see you on Friday. Thank you very much, as always. Up next, we're going to be joined by Hope Inspired Ministries CEO Eric Barber, and Merritt will join us.
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM.
Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM.
This is The Shaw, WAUK.
Hey everybody, Todd Allball, noon to 2 on Tuesday. It'll be our friend Luke Mathers and much more on the Civic Media Ready Network.
College may not be the right path for your kid, but that doesn't mean they can't earn a good living and have a secure future.
If they like working with their hands and want to help build up surrounding communities, they should consider a career in the skilled trades through a 4-year apprenticeship as a union carpenter. To learn more, it's easy. Visit northcountrycarpenter.org and fill out the interest form to get more information. That's northcountrycarpenter.org.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. A massive class action settlement proposal over that 2023 derailment in eastern Ohio.